Welcome, welcome to The Working Week with me, Ben Askins, the show where we take problems in working life and business, find out exactly what's going on, and see if we can come up with some solutions to make things that little bit better. And today we're going to be looking at bosses, specifically why, in this day and age, does absolutely everyone hate their boss, and what are the problems with that situation? Let's get into it. Boss tried to call during the funeral service. Phone was off. He turned up at the church, waited for the casket to be loaded, and then said, "I'm cancelling the rest of the leave." If a quarter of the people are working for their worst ever boss, there is no scenario we will ever get back up to being a productive country or productive economy again. The idea that employee's getting too confident, I need to crush them, is such a weird trait. It's like, look, don't fire someone whilst they're on their honeymoon. I mean, look, I am no stranger to bad bosses. I probably have more stories about bad bosses than probably most people on the planet, actually, which is a weird sort of thing to sort of say out loud. Just the sheer amount of stories that I've been shared with over the last few years is absolutely wild. And what's kind of striking, look, there's loads of examples, right? I mean, let's just pick this one in particular, where this boss actually messaged this woman while she was on her honeymoon saying, "Hey, I hope your wedding went well and that you had a nice time away. I just wanted to let you know that the decision has been made to unfortunately let you go. An email has been sent to your personal email address detailing this. I'm really sorry that it didn't work out and wish you all the best moving forwards. Kiss." And I think it's the kiss that annoys me the most about this one. It's like, what a weird thing to kind of thought, as though that would kind of make things better or even sort of slightly less inappropriate. And it's like, look, don't fire someone whilst they're on their honeymoon. Certainly don't do it over WhatsApp, at least sort of wait in person. Like, it's just so many like basic things that are kind of wrong with this. Like, to not even give a reason why you're not being fired as well is also something I just find is pretty poor form also. And look, you know, in an isolated case, you might be able to say, well, look, obviously that boss is terrible. That poor woman, that's really unfair. No one kind of deserves that, but like that's kind of how working life works, right? Sometimes you get dealt a bad hand, sometimes you're just unfortunate. You know, we've all had bad bosses, and hopefully the next one won't be as bad as this. And like, I kind of get that, right? But the stat that kind of prompted this whole video, and why I think this is perhaps a deeper problem than we might realize, is a stat that kind of came out from a recent study by Perceptix, and it's this: nearly a quarter of all employees are working for the worst manager they've ever had. The worst manager, nearly a quarter. If you sort of said a quarter of the people currently say, "We've got a bad boss," I would think that's way too high. The worst boss they have ever had. That is absolutely ridiculous. And look, in regards to like why that is, like 46% of employees say that it's there because they're incompetent and unsupportive. Some say it's disrespectful, that's 28%, and then 27% just say it's unfair. So there's obviously a different range. It's not like it's all kind of stacking up into one column, but a quarter of employees say they have their worst ever boss. And the problem with that, right, is beyond the fact that obviously that may basically means a quarter of the workforce are completely miserable, it does have a deeper problem, as this woman highlights.
"People don't quit jobs, they quit managers. Life is too short to deal with passive aggressive and negative managers that say one thing and then they do something else. I don't know about you, but I don't really love it when people with a management title try to lord it over my head or bully me into submission or dump their workload on me and then justify it as delegating to the team. My respect just took a plummet through the floor. Managers like this completely kill the potential in a team. It turns off good workers who can contribute and actually grow the company and move it forward."
That's the key bit for me, right? If a quarter of the people are working for their worst ever boss, there is no scenario we will ever get back up to being a productive country or productive economy again. Like, I just can't see how that can happen. Because, look, I know there's lots of popular things to talk about people who are economically inactive and all of that, and I'm completely on board with trying to encourage as many people and help as many of those people back into work as possible. But we need to look after the current workforce as well. And in regards to, like, productivity, in regards to, like, how you actually get people moving forwards, it starts by incentivizing and motivating people to do a good job. And if you've got a quarter of the people working for their worst ever manager, that is simply never going to happen, because by far and away the leading reason why people quit their job or check out of a job is because of who they report into. And that makes sense, right? In regards to, like, it's such a personal relationship, it's the person who can have the biggest impact on your job. I mean, the amount of stories you hear of people saying, "Oh, I used to to love the job and then I got this new boss and it just became completely awful. Like, bad boss or a bad manager can fundamentally ruin a job quicker than any other reason. And the problem with that is, like I said, like, everyone is talking about how do we get the economy moving? How do we get growth? How do we get, you know, I'm on board with all of that. Like, it's so, so important because we desperately need to kind of add that sort of stimulus, but we can't do that if a quarter of the workforce fundamentally hate the person they're working for. And so I wanted to look into why that was, because, like, look, there are obviously horrendous stories out there where people are just unacceptably doing terrible things, right? So this is a good example. I booked at short notice 2 days to bury my mother, four if you add the weekend. Boss tried to call during the funeral service, phone was off. He turned up at the church, waited for the casket to be loaded, and then said, I'm cancelling the rest of the leave. And look, sometimes it's hard to sort of verify all of these stories, but, like, that is absolutely horrendous, right? Like, what on earth is that boss playing at? How could you possibly think that showing up to someone's funeral, an employee's funeral, to basically... And what I find kind of galling is they sort of waited for the casket to be loaded as they're like, oh, well done for doing the right thing. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, come off it. How are you in a position where you think that was a good idea? And so, like, you sort of say, well, okay, obviously, if you have a boss like that, I totally understand why people are out there thinking, right, this is the worst person I've ever worked for. But, like, not everyone's like that, right? I would argue most people are not like that. Just for the sake of my sheer sanity, I'm going on the assumption that most people would loosely agree with me that that's a poor thing to do, and that's pretty poor form as a boss or a manager. And so it does beg the question, why are so many people doing so badly? I think one of the most comprehensive answers to that question is that nearly all bosses, as his Fortune magazine said, are accidental with no formal training. So we're talking 82% of bosses are accidental managers. So basically people who never really kind of intend to be a manager, never was formally like asked to be one. They just kind of like slowly kind of got a little bit more senior and suddenly had people reporting into them. And the key thing is they never got any sort of training in regards to do it. And a quarter of those people, by the way, are in senior leadership roles. So we're dealing with people who have a lot of people underneath them. And, like, the problem is, right, the more senior you get, like, I know the joke is the more senior you get, the lazier you get and the less work you do. But that's just not true, right? The more senior you are, the more damage you can do to a business. So it's so key that you have people in management positions who vaguely know what they're doing. And the problem is, right, is you've got no one training. I find that weird. I really do, because you get training on everything, right? You get training on sales. You get training on how to deal with clients. You get training. And, like, it's so weird that when you get promoted to manager, everyone just kind of assumes that you know what you're doing. And the problem with that, right, and this is what happens, is if you have no structure to management, two things happen. One is people start to kind of self-teaching. And that's a problem because you get really inconsistent management styles within the existing business. So some people teach themselves very, very well, but some obviously don't. Perhaps they kind of follow the wrong people or whatever it might be. And so you get this problem where you have some managers in the business very good, some not so good, but all have different styles, and that's not helpful for a culture at all. And the second problem is because people are self-teaching themselves, they kind of cast around for role models they've had. And if that's great if you've had an amazing manager who you can say, right, he did this and that was amazing and I'm going to copy what he did. But if you didn't have a good manager, you end up picking up bad habits. So it's just such like an obvious flaw to businesses. And so what I wanted to look at today is why this is so bad. But I also wanted to take a look and see, has it always been this bad? Because what I'm very aware of, right, in this sort of day of social and digital and the internet, etc., it is obviously much easier to amplify certain messages. And, like, look, there were certainly bad bosses back in the day. You know, I'm sure our parents have, you know, all told, or grandparents have sort of mentioned this as well. So it's not like bad bosses have not always existed. And so what I wanted to do was kind of take a look back, kind of what were the habits and how bad bosses were back in the day. And so if you look at, like, historical bad bosses, I mean, look, straight away, right, you've got the really obvious ones, like the genuinely sort of evil people, the Hitlers, the Stalins of the world. So, like, well, I'm not going to talk about them, right, obviously, just because it's kind of pointless in this discussion. You also have, like, the sort of monarchs sort of in the sort of medieval times who are just clearly terrible people, like the sort of Henry VIII of the world, who just, again, were sort of like, it's just, they're so weird people in the past. It's really hard to kind of hold modern sort of societal conventions against them. I mean, I say that, I mean, Henry VIII would seem to be a particularly poor human being, like, compared to, say, like, Henry II, who seems to be a much sort of better monarch. I think that's something to perhaps bear in mind. change, but I want to kind of pick three bad bosses and try and apply like modern practices against them. And the first one, we're going straight back to Rome in AD 54 to 68, and we're going to talk about the Emperor Nero. And look, we're not going to talk about like the stuff that all Roman emperors do, in the sense of like, you know, he killed his own mother, like I think he murdered his stepbrother Britannicus, you know, he sort of, you know, all the sort of stuff that all Roman emperors do. Like, obviously that's terrible behavior. We're not going to talk about that because that's not helpful comparing modern day bosses to it. But what I wanted to kind of talk about was actually kind of the bits where we could recognize genuine traits of why I think he was an absolutely terrible boss. So the first thing was, and this is absolutely amazing, so Nero loved the sound of his own voice, right? So much so that he forces senators to sit through his apparently talentless music and poetry recitals. So basically what he would do, and we've all had a boss like that who loves the sound of his own voice, he wildly overestimated his talent and basically sat down and sort of said, right, you know, I'm going to make everyone sit through a whole poetry recital. And you just go, oh my God, can you imagine just sitting there listening to someone drone on absolute nonsense, just have to sit there and just not complain. And the second characteristic, which is why I think he made the list, was he sounds like he was one of the worst losers in the history of, and look, I guess Roman emperors probably don't lose that often, so you can understand why he probably just hasn't had the experience of just getting over himself. But basically rocked up to the Olympic Games chariot race in Greece with 10 horses when you're only allowed 4. And insisted on winning the Olympic laurels every time, whether or not he actually won. So basically, you'd show up with 10 horses when you only allowed 4. And then sometimes he still wouldn't win. And he still insisted on being given the kind of trophy or the olive laurel wreath or whatever it is that they actually won. And you just go, oh, and that's a trope we probably can recognise a little bit. That sort of claiming victory when you had nothing to do with it, claiming, you know, victory for other works, and just sort of really stacking the deck against you. So I thought he was kind of up there in regards to kind of doing all of that. The next boss, it's actually two bosses that we picked out for this bit. And look, I'll be honest, this next one's really grim. Like, there's just no other word for it. And they were the owners of the Triangle Shirtwaist Company. So we've got a Max Blank and an Isaac Harris. Blank's actually the name, by the way. That's not me sort of like blanking out his name. And basically they had, you know, horrendous like sweatshop conditions, basically, where they had immigrant women and sort of young children basically working like brutally long hours, very little pay, shocking working conditions, just like all the sort of stuff you just say that's just so, so, so unacceptable. But it kind of got a lot worse. So what they would do, right, is they would actually like lock their doors, and lock people into the factory to basically stop them stealing their products. And you just go, God, I mean, it's just like, so they'd lock it from the outside, right? So they just couldn't get out. It was just so grim, like the whole sort of story. And it got even worse because in 1911, like a fire broke out on the 8th floor and hundreds of workers were trapped in this burning building. So 146 employees died. And basically both of these men were charged with manslaughter, though they weren't convicted. And like, look, off the back of that, this incident, there was a huge increase in factory health and safety practices and things like that. But like, that's kind of, you know, the kind of sad state of it is a lot of these sort of health and safety stuff come off the back of a horrendous accident in the first place that kind of prompted them to all happen. So, you know, just the, it's just absolutely horrendous people where they just really just treated their team like absolute dirt. And then sadly, the employees paid the price for that in like the most horrendous way. So I'm sorry about that. It is a bit of a grim story, that one. But it's worth flagging it, right? You know, if we look back at like terrible bosses, you know, I think those two are right up there in regards to some things that they did. And then the final one we wanted, when we sort of look back in, he's a spectacularly ridiculous human being, if I'm being honest. And some of the stories you hear about this person are absolutely wild. So his name was John Henry Patterson. He was an industrialist and founder of the National Cash Register Company in 1884. And he kind of was like the first ever micromanager from what I could see. Like, and I mean to the absolute nth level extent. So he was a control freak, basically, is a sort of slightly harsher way of putting it, but I just don't think there's another phrase for it. And he was obsessed with sort of cleanliness and healthiness, which, you know, you sound okay, that's fine, but he massively impose that on his employees in some of the most ridiculous ways. He would be forcing employees to take showers whilst on company time, forcing them to follow like his own like ridiculous diet regimes. And he had this weird habit, right? He would like to hire and fire people and then rehire them just on a whim, just to kind of break their confidence. And I found that really weird. I mean, obviously, look, it's a terrible thing to do, okay? It's just sort of playing with people's feelings in employment. It's just not a nice person trait, right? I just think we can all roughly agree with that. But the idea that like trying to break an employee's confidence is a good thing, I do find really odd. Like, surely you need, like, confidence in a workplace is so important because you need to have the confidence to be able to make mistakes, confidence to be a bit proactive, confidence to go above and beyond, like all the sort of stuff that everyone says they want. The idea that that employee's getting too confident, I need to crush them, is such a weird trait. And that's what I mean. I think, like, I don't know, do people still think that? Like, I struggle to believe that they do, if I'm being honest, like that sort of stuff. So I guess we have made a little bit of progress. I mean, interestingly, so he famously fired Thomas Watson, who went on to become the head of IBM. So again, like someone who silly clearly knew what they were doing. So like, he's obviously wasn't very good at picking who he was firing and hiring. So that suggests a little bit of a random element. But like, Patterson's a good example, right? All the stories about him clearly said there's a huge micromanagement element. And I think micromanagement, more than perhaps any other management style, kind of is the one that people recognize the most and also get the most hacked off by. And it kind of makes sense, right? Because fundamentally, micromanagement is basically just saying in loud painted letters, I do not trust you as an employee, and therefore I'm going to treat you like a child. And that's just rankles most adults, right? Not many people are going to accept that as a relationship. And look, this post summarizes this quite nicely, right? My manager was promoted to lead our team last year. Since then, he has turned into a serious micromanager, demanding things like being CC'd on all emails I send, wanting to see and approve emails I send to people before I send them, not wanting me to respond to his questions, etc., etc. And look, the problem with this, right, is if I'm that manager's boss, I would be really cross. One is, we have to trust the people to do the work, because otherwise, what are we doing? But two, like, you're just doubling up on work, right? That is not an efficient manager. Your job as a manager is to get the best out of the team. But if you're becoming such a bottleneck that no one can actually get through anything without your specific say-so, you're just creating a huge workflow issue there. So you're just not being a good manager. Micromanagement is very rarely the answer. But what's quite interesting about micromanagement, right, is it is quite hard to define. And what I mean by that is that everyone has a different barometer for what is a micromanagement. So some people are really don't like much contact with their manager, and so anything above that, they're going to feel quite cloyed. But actually, that might be what someone needs. So I think a good manager communicates, has that relationship where they recognize how much contact someone wants and base it around that. So don't impose how much contact you want as a manager. As a manager, your job is to work out how much contact your team wants and then to kind of act accordingly through there. So that's kind of advice in regards to do it. But like, all of this doesn't answer the question we set ourselves at the start. So look, obviously there are some horrendous bosses in the past, right? I don't think I've staggered anyone too much by sort of revealing all of that. And clearly we can see some of the traits coming through in the modern day that obviously you get kind of, you know, take away the sort of murdering and all of that sort of stuff from like ancient times. But like, you can see the traits of being a sore loser or being a micromanager. You can see these are common themes that kind of have lasted the distance. But it doesn't really ask the question of why everyone hates their boss now, because the numbers are way worse, right, in regards to how many people hate their boss at the moment, how many people think they have a bad manager, how many people have quit because of it. These numbers are all up than they were in the yesteryear. And so it's possible that things are actually just being amplified a little bit more. So one of the good theories I saw the other day was this. In my experience, about 85% of the time an employee thinks their manager is incompetent, it is because they are not privy to the information that would make the behavior make sense. There is so much that goes on behind the scene that managers can't tell their staff. Now, I think it's a really interesting point, right? And I totally agree with a lot of it. I would say, like, it's still your job to manage that communication element. So, like, if there's stuff going on that you can't say, which absolutely there is, right? I don't tell my team everything, etc. This idea that you're just fully transparent with everything, one, is unrealistic, and two, is not helpful, because again, going back to that sort of workload element, if everyone's focusing on the same problem, you're not being very efficient as a business. And I do think perhaps, you know, I would float the theory that the latest workforce has kind of grown up with an area of like having more information, expecting a little bit more information perhaps. So I do think there is that possibility that in a society where you expect to have access to more of the information and have that information more like in an instant sense and not waiting for it, I can see why that sort of frustration might perhaps be amplified in this day and age than it was, say, you know, back in the Henry VIII's time. I also think actually there's nothing wrong with like not liking your boss in a weird way. Like, you don't have to like them. Like, you can have plenty of good managers who you just don't like, who still do a good job managing you. You just happen to not like them. I actually think it's actually really healthy to grumble about your job sometimes. And like, your boss is kind of the obvious sort of tangible point for that. So for example, in every job, there are things that you don't like doing, and like, your boss can be like quite an easy target for that. So, and I think that's really healthy. You know, it's okay to grumbled in the pub or in a bar with your friends about why your boss being a pain in the ass that week. Like, that's absolutely fine. Many people over the years, I have no doubt, have done that about me. And like, that's absolutely fine. Like, that's just kind of how it works, and you need that release. And as long as, like, you're not completely miserable, and you know, it's okay to just have a bad day at work. That happens as well in a job that you like, all of that's absolutely fine as well. So I think that's a bit as well. And like, there's an interesting thing. So Sherry Maloof, author of Science and the Leader-Follower Relationship, says, and I quote, for example, Maloof says, we classify people as being a part of us or a part of them. Oxytocin is released in the brain to anyone who is considered an us, prompting trust, generosity, and cooperation. If you classify someone as them, Maloof says, we become more aggressive and dismissive. So basically, your boss is kind of always going to be a them, because they have to have those tough conversations with you. And that means the barrier in regards to like what you would expect. I mean, the best way to think about it, right, is if you have a political party you like and a political party you don't like, you're a lot more forgiving about the political party you like. Because it's the same thing. It's an us and them situation, right? So I think that kind of explains a lot of why people don't like their bosses. But it doesn't necessarily answer the question of why so many more seem to not like their bosses at the moment. I do think if we're going to build on that point, though, there is a pessimism to this day and age that perhaps generations past didn't quite have. Like, you know, for all jokes aside, like, I think if you grew up in the 80s, say, I think there's a lot more of a positive, we can do anything sort of, not mentality, because that's the wrong phrase, but more of like a sort of, just a sort of general sort of a feeling of everything's moving in the right direction, right? I think the 80s, there was an optimism there, which we're definitely missing in the 2020s, where everything, you know, every news we get seems to be sort of that little bit more negative, whether it's ambitions for buying a house or environment problems or, you know, do you see what I mean? Like, it just in general feels a lot more pessimistic in this day and age. And I think, again, that kind of precipitates across the working generation. Again, the boss becomes that easy. And by the way, when I say they're an easy target, right, I'm absolutely not saying they're not worthy of it. But you can also see a scenario where they are a bit of a focal point for lots of different things that kind of being amplified and directed down towards them. And so where do I land on all of this? I think for me, I think a lot of bosses are still terrible. I think one of the systemic issues which perhaps we didn't have back in the past, I think the fact that so few people are trained is a real problem. By the way, if anyone is interested, right, if anyone doesn't want to be one of these managers, I do have a management course. It's in the link to this video. Please do check it out. It's 6 weeks and it will help address a lot of these problems. So generally, please do check it out if it is. I don't want you paying for this, right? I really want your businesses to be paying for this, because I think it should be a business cost. But that aside, in regards to why I think this is happening, I do think the training element has absolutely dropped, especially since COVID. I think since COVID, a lot of like the basics around management training has just been completely neglected. So I do think that's a fundamental reason why people are disliking their boss a lot more. Not because the bosses are necessarily all bad or terrible people, of course they're not, but because they're just not doing the right things, and that's causing a lot of frustrations that are then being sort of thrown back at them. In regards to like when you look at the top five reasons why people like their boss, this is from the PR agency Reboot. Number one is being underpaid. So I think they're perhaps is a bigger challenge around cost of living, inflation of the last few years. A lot of wages simply haven't caught up. So a lot of the frustrations of feeling like you can't make ends meet as you once did. Again, like your boss is an easy kind of option. Not least, by the way, because if you're working for a small business, they're the founder, they absolutely control their purse strings. So that's a very easy one to say, well, they're not paying me enough. But again, going back, like a lot of small businesses are really struggling, right? So it's not necessarily fair to just say, oh, I should be paid more, loads more. A lot of businesses are struggling as well in this day and age. So I think that's important. Also, equally, if you're kind of a mid-manager of a big company, you do not have a say in regards to like increasing pay, but again, you have to kind of blame someone for that. So being underpaid, I think the inflation element is absolutely a huge part of this as well. Micromanagement, 46% micromanagement, that's mad, right? I don't know why. I mean, I think micromanagement has always been a fundamental problem. I think it's one of the worst traits, you know, going back to like the Pattersons of in the 1800s. Like, it clearly is something that's always been around. There's always been a boss who, every sort of, you could go back as far as you like and you would be able to find a boss who has these kind of traits. So I don't think this is a new one, but I think it's something that still fundamentally hacks people off, and I think that makes a lot of sense as well. I think lack of communication, I think that I find that interesting to come under micromanagement in a lot of ways, because I think they're two like very different problems from a boss perspective. But I think lack of communication makes a lot of sense in this sort of like more digital age. And this is not me saying everyone needs to be back in the office, absolutely not, but I do understand why businesses who haven't still kind of grasp the basics. I think since COVID, a lot of basics around communication has just been lost. So I think that does make sense to kind of see up there. Ungratefulness, 27%. I'd love a breakdown of what that is. I don't really know what that means, but I think I assume it just means a lack of appreciation, right? And again, I think that goes back to the management training element. Like ungratefulness, people forget how important it is just to basically praise someone for doing a good job. Like, it's such a weird thing. It's such an easy thing. We all know we should be doing it. And I promise you, the amount that has dropped in the last few years is honestly weird, because it reinforces such a good thing. One, it makes people feel great and it's an easy thing to do. But two, it reinforces good behavior, right? The idea that you shouldn't be praising people or just that's just been dropped. It's like, honestly, if you're a manager sitting out there, right? Have that as a goal. Like, pick someone who's done every day, find someone who's done something good and just praise them for it. It's such a good thing to get into a habit of doing, and it makes you so much more popular. It makes people feel good about their jobs, and it makes them reinforce the good behavior that they're doing so they then go about and do it again. So it's such like an obvious thing that you should be doing. And then finally, just bullying, 24%. That's a frustrating one. That's such an insecurity. It's just petty people who've got a little bit of power and lashing out. Like, those are the bad eggs. Those are the ones you just want to quit. Like, if you've got that trait in a manager, it's a really hard one to lead. Like, if you find someone who's genuinely just kicking down, I mean, firstly, the sort of contempt I have for people like that. Secondly, you're not being helped by the rest of the business. Like, you know, they should be removing those toxic leaders from the company. They really should, not least because commercially, from their own financial sort of, you know, perspective, like, it absolutely is something you want to be doing, because it's the quickest way to lose your culture and start damaging the revenue of your business. If the bully is the founder, I would just leave. Like, I really would just try and find another job, suck it, you know, not suck it up, because, but just kind of keep your head down, quiet quit, if you know, all of that sort of stuff. Like, and that's not me saying that in a negative sense. I just think you should do it because they deserve that. But I think that you know, those sort of lists does make a lot of sense. Like, the lack of training, I think, is, you know, I think a couple of things. So, like, I mean, I have to kind of apologize. It's a little bit of an all over episode in a lot of ways, because I don't think there's such like a clear solution. I do think a couple of things have just always been part of having a bad boss, like having people who are a bully, having people who are a micromanager, all the stuff that we've mentioned. I do think some of things are more of a problem in this day and age, and like worse than they were back then. So things like communication, things like sort of training and a lack of it. I do think like the amplification of social media gets people like be more aware of it. That probably does help. So maybe it's one of those things where people are kind of more aware of when they have a bad boss. I think that's one of the things I often kind of found quite sad about my content in a lot of ways on this journey, is like discovering how few people realize they're not being treated particularly well, which I find like really kind of sad in a lot of ways. But look, I do think things are slightly worse, I guess is my phrase, but perhaps not as much as it perhaps the numbers suggest. I just think in this day of amplification, people are becoming a lot more aware. And I think that's kind of my summary to it. And I know that doesn't necessarily help the people who are kind of involved in it, but it does make a lot of sense. But as ever, I really would like to hear from you in the comments. Like, do you think, one, are you someone who's working for their worst boss ever? Are you in that 25%? Because that stat still absolutely blows my mind. Secondly, like, do you agree? Like, do you think that things are slightly worse from a management perspective than it was, say, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago? Like, I really want to hear from that. I think, like, worst bosses have changed in, like, personas. I think, like, the sort of kicking down the door, screaming at people is probably slightly less now than it was sort of back then. But I think, like, it's kind of, there's a more sort of like new breed of bad bosses, which is perhaps a little bit more like more conniving in a lot of ways. Like, they say all the things they know they should say, but then they kind of really let themselves down, like the way they sort of do things. But like, please do let me know in the comments, because I really want to hear from you on this. Like, do you think that is the case? If you're a manager, have you been trained? Like, is it something that perhaps, you know, you would like to be better at, and people just aren't kind of investing in that part of your career? Because I'm so sympathetic to that one, by the way. Like, it's not your fault. You've been given this role and no help whatsoever, right? That is not your fault if you as a manager just haven't had that training. So I'm so sympathetic to that one as well. And yeah, any other thoughts, please do let me know. And look, finally, if you wanted to give this like and a subscribe, please do, because it is still a new show. We want to get as much traction as possible. It'd be a huge favor to me if you would do that. So please do. If you've got this far, I guess perhaps you might consider worth it throwing it a like or a pity subscribe. Otherwise, I will see you all next week. Looking forward to it. We've got some really fun topics coming up, and I can't wait to share it with you all. Take care.